everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. Michael Gross alongside Zach Case and Thomas Bubba Turgeon. And welcome to this is episode 3 now, guys. We're getting rolling. We are rolling into the season. Regular season is underway. Some have it a little bit better than others, but us right here, we're feeling good. We're thriving. We're jiving and thriving.
Jiving and thriving like last week, but men's team struggled this weekend. Women's team, they had a pretty dominant performance in both games. So, I mean, tale of two teams, tale of two stories, really. But overall, hockey season's back and regular season is upon us.
I was going to title the podcast Ups and Downs, or the tales of two sides, like Thomas just said. I think I really like that one because we really are looking at two different teams on the opposite side of the spectrum coming out of this weekend. With men's hockey obviously dropping two games to non-conference opponents, and the women's hockey team going on a successful Midwest trip out west, obviously against two non-conference opponents. So really, it was a good weekend in terms of hockey being back, in terms of anything really, but yeah, a lot of different things to unravel and talk about here on the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast.
They always say it's hard to win two games back-to-back, obviously against the same team, but just two games back-to-back, you know, on back-to-back nights. They always say it's hard to do that. For the women's team, it was a little easier. But for the men's team, that did prevail, I guess you could say, that theory. It played Hobart. Last Friday, they lost 3-1 at the Deb, and they played Elmira on Saturday, lost 5-4. We can go through some. I mean, I see you pointing at the predictions. Did you want to go through the predictions now, or do you want to save it for the end?
I just want to talk about last week's predictions. Everyone is starting off the year 2-2. We each said we all thought men's hockey was going to get something done. They didn't. We each had women's hockey going 2-0 on the weekend. One thing I want to note is I said Adrian was going to be a one-goal game. I was the only one that said
true.
A score
no,
that was close.
Two claps.
So stick well slaps for the boys there. And, yeah, that's the only thing I got to say about predictions.
Yeah, I mean, we knew they were all going to be pretty close games, and they all were. Both women's hockey games were one-goal games. The first men's game was a two-goal game. The second was a one-goal game. So everything was close on the weekend. Both teams had the opportunity, the ability to win or lose the games that they played. Fate was in their hands at one point or another. For the men's team, it was a bit more difficult. You know, they played a Hobart team who had been ranked pretty high in the past few years throughout the seasons, fluctuated sometimes. And Elmira, who's kind of snuck in there. They've been a sneaky good hockey team the last few years. And they definitely show that they have the prowess and the talent to be able to be in that top hole.
Yeah, absolutely. And Elmira, a team that won the UCHC last year in the condensed season, they upset Utica, a team that's also well-known, nationally ranked. I think Elmira really made a statement for themselves, taking another hard-fought win against one of the other teams that's been well-known in D3 for over the last decade against Oswego State. But in that game, that was a run for their money. Oswego came back, and rightfully so, and almost a comeback win for the Lakers, but Elmira held strong in that game.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Hobart, though.
Yeah,
obviously, please. Friday night, 3-1 loss in the Deb, the season opener, the regular season opener. And a tough following to the statement. Once again, we talked about this back in the 2019-20 season. They go to the fridge or the freezer, I think they called it, in Geneva. And they lost there and another loss Friday. But it's kind of that situation where, to be honest, I thought we were going to see Cause. We saw Eric Green in net. Didn't do that bad of a job. Made 20 saves. But being outscored 10-4 last three times against the statement – and they allowed their third goal 13 seconds in the third period. And that was a theme. We talked about Elmira. They dropped two goals at the end of each period, the first and the second. You got to play a complete 20 minutes. And that's something that is probably going to be a theme. And we'll talk about way too much heading into this coming weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be able to play three full periods of hockey.
20 minutes. 20 minutes here. 60. Go in the locker room. 20 minutes. Another 20.
That's it.
That's it.
You have to be able to play three, four. And yes, you can take it 20 minutes at a time, but at the end of the day, you got to play 60 minutes. You don't play 60 minutes, you don't beat the teams like Hobart. You don't beat the teams like Elmira, like Utica in the preseason. Although you can't exactly look at that game and have it carry the exact same weight as these two do. But if you think about Thomas, when we watch the second preseason game in the Deb against Canton, these guys, man, they just looked energetic. They looked great. They looked quick. They looked fresh. When they came out against Hobart, they looked sloppy. The passes weren't going exactly how they wanted it to. And it was a lot more difficult. They had a lot more difficult of a time kind of getting the wheel rolling.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. You see in that game against Hobart, obviously you're playing a team like Canton the week before, you finish up your preseason with a dominant performance, a 9-1 win against the Kangaroos, a team that's relatively weaker in a nationally ranked perspective compared to Hobart, who's a team that's been numerous years nationally ranked, dominant team in the Statesman. And you come out like that with almost somewhat of a weaker team per se. And that, as you mentioned, sloppy play for the Lakers against the Statesmen, and some things that they're going to have to be fine-tuned throughout the season. Hobart, obviously a team, I remember I was looking at their roster last week and a lot of returners in that Statesmen squad compared to Oswego. So I, as much as I hate saying a generic stereotype, experience is a factor.
I think one thing I'm going to transition to here is the special teams. 0-for-5 on the power play Friday night. Yeah, you can't have that, especially against a team like Hobart. Power plays is where you're going to take advantage. If you're not winning 5-on-5, you better be winning 5-on-4. And they did not do that Friday night. 2-for-3 on the PK isn't bad, but giving up that power, it's not great. But
yeah,
giving,
but, yeah, but it's better than 4-for-8.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like 2-for-3 is the equivalent to, I guess, going, 6-for-8? But even then, you're still letting up 2 goals. You shouldn't be in the box 8 times.
But exactly. So you're in the box less. You only gave up 1 power play goal. But when you went on the power play, you didn't get anything. So that's one thing of concern heading into this weekend against those Suniac opponents like Potsdam and Plattsburgh. And really, I wasn't there Friday night, so I can't really question on all that. But you guys talked about the defensive zone coverage, the physicality. Let's talk about that. You guys put that down. I want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Thomas. Give me two seconds, right? It was just a slugfest, back and forth. You know, every single time up against the boards, it didn't matter who it was. Everybody was crashing. It was like left and right. There was another guy hitting the deck, another guy hitting the ice.
There was a lot of chasing.
Oh yeah,
I heard they were chasing all night.
Oh yeah, and the officials weren't exactly catching all of it. Maybe they were letting them play a little bit more, but they weren't exactly catching all of it. There should have definitely been a couple penalties, whether it was interference or a boarding call, both ways, that should have been called, and there just wasn't.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. I wasn't at the game either, but I watched the highlights after. And, yeah, a lot of physicality, a lot of body checks being thrown, but that's going to happen. You're playing a very competitive opponent in Hobart. And you're kicking off the season strong, or at least what you thought was strong, and you take a game with a loss 3-1, which it is what it is. But the one thing that I noticed was, in particular, their neutral zone coverage leading into their defensive zone wasn't the strongest. As you saw some of the goals in that game, they were really just transitions. Hobart broke it out of their defensive zone, carried it right into the offensive zone, scored. It was really just on the rush. And that's one of the things that you need to look at if you're Oswego. Is it's one thing if they bring it into your zone, they set up shop and somehow find a way to tuck it in the back of the net. But it's another thing if you're just letting them walk right into your zone and not even holding your own blue line and just letting them get a shot off, whether it's Kaz or Green or even Perron in the goal. So I think in that retrospect, you're looking at going into Suniac play this weekend, neutral zone, as well as just transitions in general, breakout, dump it, regroup, everything is going to be taken into perspective this weekend.
Yeah, you definitely have to – you're going to have to limit the opportunities they get on the rush and really maintain those and contain them until you set up that D-zone structure. So I think that's a good point there.
Maintain and contain.
Yeah.
Maintain
and contain. That's how it's going to have to be. And Elmira, I watched that one. That was on the TV Saturday, and I thought that was a great game. An exciting one that Oswego didn't really show a lot in the first period, but was able to come back. And Obviously couldn't get it done though at the end.
I have a good transition to Mobart. You know, we talked about how they have to play a full 60 minutes, right? You know, how about just playing a full 20, right? Right. I know you guys mentioned
a third,
right? Like if there's 10 seconds left, 20 seconds left, you don't just check out and say, all right, I'm going to the locker room. Right. I'm not going back to the dressing room with, you know, 20 seconds left. I'm not mentally checked out. It's a full 20 minutes. And they didn't do that. They let up two goals during the game within the last separate periods, within the last 4 seconds. Right.
I'm reading the time here, 19:59. That means there's one second left to go in the first
4 seconds left when Adam Abbey scored.
And then with three seconds left in the second.
And it was like 3.6, I think, with Jake Russo. Unbelievable. I mean, the other thing I have to say.
And that just can't happen.
The other thing I have to say on the weekend, why isn't Steven Kozakowski starting? I understand maybe making him work a little bit. If he came in thinking he was going to be the starter, okay, maybe you want to make him work a little bit, make him earn it. But at the same time, after this weekend, I don't see anybody else between the pipes besides Steven Kozakowski.
Yeah, so for me, from my perspective on that, I remember I was chatting with a few of the guys, specifically Aaron Valentino, about that. Shout out, friend of the pod.
Wait. This is our in-house goalie analysis, Thomas Surgeon, by the way.
In-house goalie analysis.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Somewhat of a coaching analysis. So what I can see in this one is Perron got chased in that first period against Elmira. It's a no-brainer. 3 goals on 9 shots. That can't happen. What I think, in my mind, what went down was Gosick wasn't really sure who to put in that second spot between Perron and Green. Perron played pretty solid in the preseason both times. And Green, the goals that was scored on him in the preseason, really nothing he could have done on a majority of them.
Team goals.
And I think it was really just a weekend to see, all right, let's give Kaz the rest, because Suniak starts up the week after. And let's see what these guys got. Regular season is a little bit different than exhibition, of course. And I think it was really more of a test to look at who's going to be your 2 and who's going to be your 3. And I'm not going to lie, after this weekend, I still don't know who could be in that order.
You don't know who's going to be 1?
I think Kaz is 1.
I think Kaz is 1 for now.
As for 2-3, though, I think that's very up for debate after these past 2 weekends.
I think one thing you could say is Green played 60 minutes.
True.
Perron had a shorter of a leash.
Yeah.
So that's one thing to talk about.
With reason. I mean,
yeah. Of course.
He let in 2 goals within 30 seconds.
Yep.
7 seconds into the period. Seven minutes. Unbelievable. Jeez. 7 minutes into the period. It's 5 o'clock and on a Wednesday, and I'm already doing this. It's gonna be a rough week.
Yes, sir.
7 minutes into the period, 30 seconds apart, and then let in a goal with a second and a half remaining in the first period. Of course he was going to get pulled. After that, of course he was going to get pulled.
It was only a matter of time. But the real question is, and I want your guys' perspective on this, because I watched the whole game, so I was able to see this. But do you guys really think that the team played different in front of Steven Kozakowski in the second? Do you think that was because of the goalie change, or do you think it was just Ed Gosick in the locker room in between the periods?
I actually think it's probably because of the goalie change. That changing the man between the pipes can do so much for a team, right? Yeah. Because you can go from, as a collective, whether or not they want to admit it, you could go from being as confident as ever in your goalie to having no confidence, or vice versa. And when you have confidence in your goalie, you play better on the ice. You're more adamant to go out and play with more energy, play with more excitement. And I think that was their issue. I don't think anybody was, I guess, like certain and confident in Perron's skills right from the get-go. Not that he's not a skilled goaltender, because he is, but I mean, he was probably nervous too. I'm sure they all were. It's after you lose to Hobart, you lost 2 of your first 3 games, first regular season game on the road. There's got to be nerves there, especially for a team that's supposed to have so much promise in the end. I think you're 100% right. I think you're 100% right.
I'm going to have to do a little bit of both on this one. Obviously, Mike, you touched up on how some people play a different style when it comes to a different goaltender. Obviously, some of the people like DiCarlo and Broman, those guys have played with Kazem between the pipes 2 years ago. So obviously that plays into perspective. But not to mention, there's no doubt in my mind that Coach Ed Gosick ripped into them in that intermission. Because I didn't watch the first period, but I was fortunate enough to put the stream up on my phone in the second period. And every time I looked back, Oswego either scored or Elmira couldn't get into Oswego's zone. They just tried to dump it in. Oswego would knock it down, bring it right back into Elmira's zone. I was shooting them 14-5 in the second period. I just think it's a little bit of both. You see a new change of pace in between the pipes, and the coach reams into you saying, hey, what the heck are you guys doing? You guys aren't playing your style of hockey that you should be, and you're letting up some opportunities that shouldn't be happening. I think it's a little bit of both, but regardless of the circumstances, you still come out with a loss and you still need to play those full 20 minutes each period.
Yeah, and I think it was two tough opponents they started out with. Now, one thing kind of transitioned to the poll. I think we have to talk about that.
Oh, sure.
Maybe a little bit, not too much.
No. I mean, we obviously have to talk about it. It makes me upset. That's all.
Well, we're not going to talk about the women's poll just yet. I know that was a triggering thing for you on Twitter.
All right. Listen, triggering is
an understatement.
Is an understatement. But we'll discuss it. All right. The men's poll, obviously, and maybe it's obvious to me, not obvious to some of you listening, but obviously they didn't look good enough this weekend. They didn't play good enough this weekend to be ranked. And they're not ranked. And rightfully so. They do have votes, if I'm not mistaken.
They have five.
They have five votes. But that means that they're behind Brockport, who has six votes.
Yep. You could argue Brockport played weaker teams because they did.
But they still won games.
But they still had two games, and they had a shutout in the second game. So, and Geneseo also played weaker opponents, but that doesn't matter. You got one conversation I saw on Twitter was it comes down to what the program's done in the past, especially early on in the season, and obviously how they're doing right off the bat. Geneseo goes 2-0. Against maybe weaker teams, you could say weaker programs, but what did they do back in the 2019-20 season? So,
But you just can't. My only thing is, my only dilemma is the fact that you can't just say, well, I guess it's more on the women's point, and we'll get there. But like, Oswego's a good hockey team. They didn't play well. They're a good hockey team. If the same thing is going to happen where with the women's team, where you're going to go on notoriety and you're going to go on program history, why shouldn't Oswego have more votes than Brockport?
Because what'd they do in the 2019-20 season? They didn't beat a nationally ranked team. They were 0-6 against nationally ranked teams.
They played 12 games.
In the 2019-20 season?
They not play.
They played a whole schedule. Played a whole season.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
And they went 0-6 against nationally ranked teams.
But they made it farther than Brock.
Yeah, They made it farther than Brock. So that's my thing, though.
Yeah, so
I don't know why it's Brockport got upset by
Plattsburgh.
Yeah, well, yeah, either way, you could say, okay, we'll look at postseason. Geneseo went all the way. Shocker. It happened.
Shocker.
Or you could look at what happened during the regular season with Oswego. They went 0-6. They got better as the season went on, but they went 0-6 against nationally ranked teams.
Not to mention that middle, what we call a horrendous slump between November and January. About February, yeah, a few critical losses in between.
Exactly. But so, and then one thing to note, obviously, Hobart ranked fifth, team we played this weekend on Friday. Then Elmira's ranked 13th. They weren't ranked in the previous poll.
Where's Utica?
Utica's number three. So
exactly my point.
Geneseo number two.
The thing is, though,
they played Hobart to a close game. They could have won that game.
Oh, yeah.
They did. They played Utica to a close game. They should have won that game. Not could have. They should have won that game. Okay. Should they have gone to the box eight times? No. But they didn't, you were about to say, Thomas. But they didn't win that game.
Elmira could have been a lucky bounce, and it would have been a 5-5 game or a 4-4 game, and we would have been an OT.
Exactly.
So.
Or they don't score within the last 5 seconds of both the first and second periods.
And you get a W and you come home.
And you get a win, a 4-3 win, and you don't have to worry about it.
Didn't Elmira score in the final 3 minutes in the third, too?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes left.
Regardless.
So
it's the same thing. That's crunch time.
Can you go back to the Elmira game?
Box score?
Yeah, I want to see the box score. I want to see the times they scored.
So, yeah, three minutes left, actually, in the third.
They didn't score. Actually, I guess no team scored within the first 7 minutes of the period. After the seven-minute mark, between the seven-minute and nine-minute mark, one, two, three, four goals were scored in the game between the seven-minute mark and nine-minute mark of, I guess, each period. If that makes sense within those. Let me re-explain it because I am the most confusing person.
I know what you're saying, but I don't know if everybody does. Though.
So between the first, second, and third periods, between the seven-minute mark and the nine-minute mark, so those six total minutes, four goals were scored. Nothing before that, right? Nothing was scored earlier than the seven-minute mark in the period. The last 3 minutes of each period, one, two, three, four goals. So there's eight. There's only one goal that was kind of an outlier in like right smack in the middle of the period. So first 7 minutes, they play really great. I guess you can say the next two, they don't play well, either team, but whatever it is. It's just you have to be able to come out strong and finish strong. That is the moral of the story. That is the moral of the story.
Full 60 minutes.
Yeah, full 60 minutes.
I think record. Exactly.
One thing to note also, first power play goal for the season, Broman.
That's true. Against Elmira.
Roman with another goal in our power play.
Another thing to know, I think Jared Nash looks great.
He's had a few
two assists. So
and he had a goal in the preseason.
Yeah,
a goal and a few points in the game against Canada.
And I really, the line, Josh LeBlanc is playing good as well.
Good.
And Trent Grimshaw is noticeable with him, that pairing. I don't know. I forgot who the third is on that line, but
it's Grimmer.
I remember from the Canton game.
At one point it was Sleeth.
Sleeth's playing in the middle now.
It's not our thing because he's on the first line. We have Roman.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out someday.
I'll pull it up. Why are we guessing? I have the folder.
Right? He has the folder. Oh man.
Keep him busy. He's got the Jeopardy.
But till then, obviously later in the show, talk about Potsdam and Plattsburgh.
Till then, how about till now? Mac Lewis.
You want to talk about
the center?
Mac
Lewis in the center.
Mac Truck down the middle.
Do you want to do women's hockey recap first?
Yeah, of course. Let's talk about the Midwest trip.
All right. I like the first game. The first game gives me major Slapshot movie vibes at the end of it. Old time hockey, as you really want to put it. But they beat Adrian, a team that was later released to be the number 10 team in the nation. So a huge win for the Lakers this weekend in Michigan, a 2-1 victory. Should we start discussing the poll now, though?
No, let's recap.
Can
we just recap
you're right,
it?
You're right,
come on.
You're right.
Let's do it the right way.
Should we recap for Thomas? Do you want to take the lead on this recap?
Yeah, we'll recap this.
Give it to Bubba.
So this is a game that I like. It's one of the games that Oswego was really firing, but their defense was also a star in that. Joanna Hebert got the nod in between the pipes for the Lakers, 31 saves, 16 in the third. That's over half of her saves were in the third period. Adrian outshot Oswego 32-20. Megan Teachout, not a shock, carrying the Lakers offense, two goals, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oswego 1-for-2 on the power play, penalty kill 4-for-4. But in reality, that's still too many penalties. This is where things get interesting. Old time hockey, as I wrote it. At the end of the period, third period, Oswego wins. We get five major penalties. Aslan McAleer and Mia Convoy both had 5 minute majors for roughing and game misconducts, as well as seven penalties total between the two teams with two misconducts.
Sounds like the guys.
Sounds like a very interesting affair at the end. I wish I was able to watch it to see what actually went down. But I'm sure it was interesting. Oswego with a key victory to start off the season that we knew they came in rolling with those wins against King's College, which was – that was interesting, and Newman University with two key wins there. And then they play a team that was really dominant over the last 2 years. I want to say they went undefeated last year in 2020 in their condensed season. And, yeah, this is just a big win for the Lakers, I think. In my opinion.
Yeah, 4-for-4 on the PK. I know Digby said in the past they play aggressive. So they use their PK to their advantage and it's successful. And obviously 1-for-2 on the power play. Teach out having a successful weekend. We'll talk about her in the next game as well. And I think Hebert really answered my question. How is the goaltender's going to look this season? And
pretty solid
and pretty good, pretty good to start the season. So not bad for the women's hockey team to start. And then heading into Saturday, another bus trip.
One goal on 32 shots for the netminder from Michigan, making almost somewhat of a homecoming. But Oswego carrying the win in that one. So we'll move into the second game against our mispronunciation last week is Trin University.
It is Trin.
It is
Trin. Oh, and you were coming at me.
So we
apologize. Oh, well, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. No. Wait a minute.
Timeout. I was right. Gross was wrong.
Did I not have a reason to come at you?
Yeah, because of past experiences, but that doesn't matter. Yeah,
sure.
But we do apologize. It was Trin, the Thunder.
But, I'm just going to call him the Thunder.
Trin University Thunder. That's sick. The T-U-T.
Oh, my God. I'm not saying that. But the score, 2-1. Everything else looked like it was going Oswego's way besides the first period. Trin was able to get one on the power play in the first period, but Oswego out shooting them 11-7. But they also outshot the Thunder by the end of the game, 38-17. So almost a replication of what we saw in the Saturday game for the Mets. Quiet start in the first period, go down in the first period. Second period, they come out guns blazing.
It better not be the new Lakeway
hockey. I hope not.
I don't know if I can watch that.
I can't handle that.
That's a little bit of a nail biter, but Oswego, another dominant second period on another hockey team, including a 21-5 out shooting in the second period alone. 21 shots. I feel bad for that goaltender.
So I think we can safely say, obviously, Megan Teachout is the go-to on the team. Obviously, Taggart is a captain, but Teachout's got way more scoring opportunities. But another girl on this team who's kind of emerged from the darkness, I guess you could say, is Amanda Zenstein.
Yeah.
An offensive defenseman.
Exactly.
Just like Taggart. Just like Taggart.
Yeah, just like Novick.
Yeah.
Vance? No. Randazzo, wasn't she a defenseman?
Yes.
Exactly.
Kate. Just like Kate Randazzo. It happened. They come through. Mark Digby. We said it last week. He knows how to pick them, man.
The transfers have come in, and they've been successful, and they've been there and present since the beginning. So I really enjoy this hockey team. I really like watching them because it's a fun hockey game to watch, especially when there's 18 goals. But they did the job this weekend, and they did a successful one on the bus trip. And another thing to talk about, Bryn White, second string goaltender, but the second goaltender to come in and also get a win. So that's the conversation between the pipes is who's gonna get played this weekend in the conference matchups.
See, I like this though, because 2 years ago, Coach Digby, who was the associate head coach, and Diane Dillon had a little bit of a predicament once right around this time. Tia Travato, who was backup.
It was a couple more weeks out.
Yeah. Regardless, Tia Travato transferred to Potsdam, leaving Farmer the only goaltender. So you had to roll Farmer every single game, no matter what. This year, now you've got two goalies who stats show that they've been doing well. And a third if needed. So you got options this year. If one's not playing well, you can rotate to another. And you could flip-flop games if you want. It wouldn't surprise me down my mind if they do the same thing this weekend. If maybe White gets the start on Saturday and Hebert gets the start on Sunday. So
it's really going to come down to who's going to be the stronger opponent this weekend. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's Potsdam.
I think the Bears are much stronger.
The Bears are much stronger than the Bengals. If I can remember, obviously it's been 2 years.
Yes.
So who knows what it's going to look like come Saturday.
But the Bears in the new NHL, it goes, I want to say it's the top four teams.
Yes. Four teams.
Top four. They were tied for that fourth place seed. I looked at the standings the other day. They were tied with Cortland for that fourth place seed and they lost. They lost in a tiebreaker.
So it was a tiebreaker.
It was a tiebreaker. Yeah. It wasn't a tiebreaker game. I think they had the same amount of points, but it went down to a tiebreaker, and Cortland now beat them in the tiebreaker, which I'm not sure what it resorted down to. If I could guess, it was probably head-to-head matchup. But regardless, though, goaltending is going to be nice to look at, as well as the transfers. You mentioned Zenstein coming in from Elmira, I believe it was. She's been doing well. Please tell me you guys saw Teachout's goal against.
Yes. Oh. They put it all over social media. Oh. Like, it's all over the place.
It's all over the place. But, like, toe drag walks in top right.
Out muscles through the slot, and then bar down from the corner.
You absolutely have to love a toey and then bar down.
Oh,
absolutely. Just yucky.
It was insane. I thought it was insane. But, Oswego's offense getting the job done, taking two nice wins out west. And their defense is also producing, which is going to be a key thing when you look at future matchups. I'm not jumping way far ahead, but after this weekend with Potsdam and Buff State, they go and play Cortland and Plattsburgh,
That are great in the conference.
Especially
offensively. Cortland's up there.
Offensively, too. Yep. I think Cortland was second in goals per game.
All right. Now.
Now this is Mike's favorite part of the show.
This is going to be my favorite part of the show. Before we do a little outlook on the weekend, I'll pull up the tweets so that I'm not just spewing things out onto the podcast that aren't true.
Can I give them the background information?
Sure. You are more than welcome to give them background.
So the the USCHO, Division III women's poll and men's poll came out. We already talked about the men's. We'll talk about the women's now. For the first time since the 2019-20 season, the poll comes out, Plattsburgh at the top. They didn't even play a game this weekend. They swept the first place votes, and they're starting out number one. A lot of teams coming in 2, 3, 4. Elmira, someone to note, coming in fifth with some of the transfers. Norwich, Endicott, Amherst, who we saw back in the 2019-20 season, and 10th place, Adrian. Now, here's where Mike comes in. Other receiving votes, Hamline, 15. Oswego, 6. I won't list the other ones because all we need to focus on is Oswego.
It doesn't matter.
So Adrian goes 1-1 this weekend, receives 20 points, and they were in 10th in the previous poll from the 2019-20 season. And Oswego with 6 votes. Mike, take the floor.
Here's my thing. Buckle up, Buttercup. It's about to get real. Here's my thing, right? I understand. You go by past success. You go by notoriety. Right, in a preseason poll, right? In a preseason poll. Preseason. Not after the first week of the season.
Well, this technically was after the first
week. This was after the first week.
This came out Monday.
Let me finish.
This isn't all preseason.
Let me finish. Preseason poll, you should go by notoriety. You should go by what they did in the past. You should go by the last time they played, the last year. Not by... not by what they've done. They haven't done anything. It's preseason. After the first week, you go out and you say, hey, if this team was going to be in the top 10 and another team who originally wasn't probably going to be in the top 10 beat the team that was supposed to be ranked, logically, which team should be up there? Which team should be ranked? I don't know. If Oswego goes and beats Adrian, and Adrian had a spot in the top 10, or had a presumed spot in the top 10, had been in the top 10 before, Oswego hadn't, you'd think, okay, maybe an upset. But then they go on the road and be trying as well. It's a Midwest, right? It's not like they're going up to – it's not like they're going Geneseo, right, or they're going out to Buff State. It's – they're playing great teams from the Midwest, Michigan and Indiana, right? They're playing against Adrian. They're playing against Trent. They're not playing fluff teams. All right, they've earned those wins. They beat a team who is listed above them, voted in above them in the first week, which doesn't make any sense to me. And I've gone on Twitter. I gave my 2 cents. A lot of people want to say, oh, well, you have to show more than that. Is beating the top 10 team not enough to show in the first week coming out of the gate strong? you could give them benefit of the doubt. Oh, yeah, it was their first game. It was their first week. You know, they hadn't really had a lot of time beforehand. No, I don't care about that. You got to come in and you got to play. You got to play your brand of hockey. And that's what the Lakers did. They came in and they played their brand of hockey, the brand of hockey that Coach Mark Digby has been trying to get this team to play and now has finally done it. A team that outscored their first four opponents, granted two of them were in the preseason, 29-2. They've let up two goals in, quick math here, 240 minutes of hockey. Unbelievable. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Coach. Unbelievable, right? For any contest, whether that's preseason or regular season, it doesn't matter. But when you score 29 goals, that's more than a goal every 10 minutes. Another quick math right there, Thomas.
Oh, boy.
I'm just my last thing, all right? And then I'll let you guys come in a little bit. It's just the fact that – I know I've been saving this all up. It's just the fact that it makes no sense to me how a team that is supposed to be a higher-ranked team loses to a team that wasn't supposed to be ranked and is still ranked above them after the first week. It just makes no sense.
So my one thing is I'm not going to argue this poll, and I'm not going to really argue your sense at all. I think this coming weekend and the weekend after, where they play the number one ranked team in the nation, depending on those results, you'll see them in the poll in 2 weeks.
Yes. But my thing is, if they
this weekend does not matter. If they go 2-0 this weekend, they're going to gain more votes, but I don't think you'll see them in the top 10.
But wait. They play Buff State.
They play Cortland and Plattsburgh the following weekend.
Though. Oh, yeah.
That weekend is a big weekend in terms of the poll.
All right. Well, Case, let's say they go out and they beat both teams this weekend by a total final score of 11-3. Let's just throw it out there. That means you've outscored your opponents 40-5, right? In the first 360 minutes of hockey you've played this season. After COVID, you know, under a new official head coach with a really different look on this team in a lot of different aspects. Yeah, you got to give that something. You got to be above Adrian at that point, especially if you beat
him. And what I say to that is, who did you play? And that's that. And that argument comes from, okay, in the preseason, we play two teams that are very lower on the ranking in terms of D3 programs in women's hockey. Obviously, in the new HL, it's going to get better. The competition's good.
Yeah.
And this weekend's going to tell where those other two teams lie compared to Oswego. Then the following weekend is going to be even better, greater of a competition with Plattsburgh and Cortland.
Yeah. So my thing is, right, I get it. Early season rankings come down to previous success, notoriety. But someone who did respond to my tweet said it's not about just the score. I've got to look at the strength of the teams they played. Plus, you know, the first two games were exhibitions. Yeah, I get that, right? But after preseason, maybe another ranking should come out that says, hey, you know, this team played, maybe they were kind of bad preseason teams, but they did well. And if you say, well, you got to look at the strength of the teams, is Adrian not a team that's better, they're supposed to be better than Oswego?
And one thing I say to that is, who knows if anyone really noticed that Adrian took that loss?
I think it's more they looked at the shots, though. Like, you saw Adrian outshot, I want to say it was like 32-20. Yeah, 32-20 and 17 shots in the third period, as we mentioned. I'm thinking they're looking
at, I think, like, come next weekend, you're going to get more votes.
Yes, but I think,
as long as this weekend is as successful as we think it's going to be. But I don't think you're wrong. Adrian had a season last year. Of course, they played weaker opponents, per se, and had an undefeated season, but they were in the limelight last season.
Yes.
Oswego was not. So in terms of someone who may have a vote in the poll, you're going with the team you saw, maybe. You know what I mean? So I think we kind of exhausted this topic.
Yeah.
Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with men's hockey, or do we want to continue with the women's hockey conversation?
Let's continue women's hockey and make our prediction, or not, I guess not predictions, but let's just,
yeah, well, let's talk about the matchup. I'll take it. Buffalo State comes to town Saturday at 3 p.m. in the Deborah F. Stanley Arena. By the way, guys, if you can't go to the game, WTOP10 will be streaming the game on twitch.tv/WTOP10TV with pregame Hockey Night in Oswego starting at 2:30. And
that's crazy.
It's a new WHL matchup. Matchup. Okay. It's a conference matchup. It's that conference weekend. Huge. We haven't had conference hockey in 2 years. I'm very excited to see what they can do against the Bengals. The Bongles. And
the Bengals.
I say that just because of
Bingo Bongle.
The Cincinnati Bengals. Oh. But some info on the Bengals. Naz, they played them last weekend, two games, weekend sweep. And Naz took care of them 8-1 and 8-0.
Which is why Nazareth got votes behind Oswego, by the way.
That was bad.
And goaltending, making way too many saves to begin with, 58-41. So we're going to see what really comes down to. I think it's going to be a lot of shots from Oswego. It's going to be a lot of defensive zone play. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to a lot of offense for Oswego on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Oswego, there's no doubt in my mind, not to be biased, there's no doubt in my mind they have the offensive leverage on here. They have Teach out. They have people around her. Like we mentioned, Matt Hall joined into the mix as a freshman this year, and she hasn't disappointed. She's been putting up points. Buff State 2 years ago, they're averaging 1.6 goals. A goal a game, pretty much. Almost two. But to make things worse for them, their top four point getters from that season are gone. Who's going to step up? Who's going to lead the way? Who's going to try and get some points for them? Not to mention Oswego, they're coming in hot. Be a top 10 team. One can say they got gypped in the rankings a little bit, but we already talked about that. And they've won the most recent four matchups against Buff State. But the last one, 3-2. So it could be close. It could be not close. That 3-2 game, I remember, was actually a game in retrospect that didn't matter. The playoffs were actually set at that point. Oswego did have the 2 seed, and Buffalo State was already eliminated. But we see two of those matchups, a 6-2 win for the Lakers, a 2-0 win for the Lakers, and a 3-1 win for the Lakers.
I see them dominating, to be honest. I mean, you can't come off of a Midwest away sweep against two very good teams. And kind of just lie down and die. You just can't. I know it was a really bad analogy, but you just can't. You got to come out with some confidence. You got to come out like you own the place, and you do. I mean, right now, the women's hockey team owns the Dep.
Oh, yeah.
And that's no question.
And the other thing is they're the only hockey team home this weekend.
Very true.
They're the premier game this weekend.
Yeah, but they don't own, at least on campus here, they don't own it by default. They because they're the only team here playing here this weekend, they own it because they have this.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying, I think there's more energy in there knowing that, hey, there are going to be two games here Saturday, Sunday, and they're going to be ready to go for them.
Oh, absolutely. Their offense has been good. Their team overall has been good. You can see the chemistry between those lines that you saw in those games that they played. Like, they haven't played for 2 years, and they've got a bunch of new faces, but still, they got that chemistry. It's built, and it's ready to go.
If I was going to be here on Saturday, I would be working the game. Therefore, I'd be watching it anyway. But I'm going to be listening to the game on my ride back home from Cortland, because the men's soccer team actually today just clinched their spot in the SUNYAC Championship. Since like 1966, maybe?
Six laps.
I think they won it in 66. I'm not sure if they've been there since. I have to do my research because I have to write an article on it.
That's a lot more quick Friday. Math.
That's a lot more quick math, but it is 55 years. That is the quick math since they won one.
And then heading into Potsdam, the Bears come to town Sunday, 3 o'clock matchup in the Deb, and the split Hollow weekend with a 6-0 loss and a 2-1 win against William Smith, a team Oswego has seen in years past. So the Bears off to a 1-1 start, and they're going to open up this weekend versus Morrisville on Friday. And that's going to be a big matchup too. Morrisville wasn't a bad team. played Oswego in the semifinals back in the playoffs in the 2019-20 season.
Lost offense, I'm pretty sure. And Morrisville has had Sean Kennedy, who was a transfer.
Yeah. So, and the Bears went 10-12-2 in 2019-20, held the same record as Cortland, but did not make the playoffs due to that tiebreaker rule, like Turgeon talked about already. But the Bears have gotten the best of the Lakers. Oswego 16-25-7 versus Potsdam, 3-4-3 in the last 10. So,
yeah, I think Potsdam, they're a team that's going to be competitive. You're not going to take them lightly. They're not going to be a team that you just brush off to the side. They're going to be a competitive team, and we've seen that in history. In my freshman year, for your freshman year, they tied Oswego twice. And if you think about it, Potsdam gets one of those wins, if not both of those wins.
And Oswego wouldn't be the home team.
Standings might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Cortland might have been out. Potsdam might have been in for a playoff spot. Like, you think about that. Those ties were critical to what led to the end of the season.
You got to give me 2 seconds here.
Oh, boy.
You may not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it.
Don't tell me they get the loss.
No. Weekend sweep.
Weekend sweep. All right.
We're already into predictions now. We haven't even finished the conversation.
I don't even care. This team is so good. All right. As long as their offense, while they're on the ice, as long as the puck finds Teachout's stick, as long as the puck finds Grugan's stick, they're bound to do something. They're bound to do something great. And I think that they can get it done. I believe they can get it done. It'll be a lot easier against Buffalo State. But I think against Potsdam, you got to just put more shots on net. It was an issue, right, against Adrian, where at defense, it was getting difficult to put shots up on them. They're outshot by 12. But if they can outshoot Potsdam, I don't think they have any reason to lose that game.
It's got to be quality chances, too. At the end of the day, when Oswego's in the offensive zone, instead of getting just one, two shots on the rush and losing that pressure, work the puck around. And we've seen that against teams like Kings and Newman. But against a team like Potsdam, a better opponent, all this is just going to continue to build up to the following weekend against Cortland and Plattsburgh. But you can't really look ahead. These are two games that are going to be crucial for the standings. Let's think about it. In terms of Plattsburgh, in order to get that number one seed, it's every game. Plain and simple.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. But the one thing that I want to take into consideration is, obviously, we mentioned how much size matters. Potsdam's goalie that has a win this year, the 2-1 win that you mentioned against William Smith, is number one, Ellie's, I want to say it's Zerfla.
We'll have that ready to go for Sunday.
Her height six. So. Yeah, we'll have that pronunciation ready to go. Her height is 6'2". 6'2 goaltender.
She's taller than
6'5 on skates.
That's some height. Yes.
Not me.
She's taller
than me. She had the same height.
Uh-huh.
She's taller than me. But 6'2, that's taking up some room at a goal in between the pipes, if I do say so myself.
Yep.
But
you know who's still gonna pick corners though?
Megan Teachout.
Bingo.
That's
important. Maybe it's easier to shoot 5-hole. Maybe it's easier to shoot down low on a 6'2 goalie.
No, on a goalie like that, you gotta see how quick they drop. And how they are when they drop.
If she gets the start, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure she probably will. It wouldn't surprise me if she does. Because Potsdam has to play Morrisville the night before.
Two nights before. It's Friday.
Oh, that's right.
They had the off day.
2 nights before. So, I guess technically you could throw her out there for both games. But in my opinion, Zerfla has to play against Oswego. They're a much better team than Morrisville. Not that Morrisville's a bad hockey team.
It's just a better program.
We're just a better program. Oswego's a better program.
Yeah, I think I couldn't agree more on that. The depth is going to be huge. And offense-wise, for both teams, is going to be huge. Potsdam's going to have to commit to some team defense in a way because, as mentioned, Oswego's offense is hot. But, yeah, that's really all I got for the women.
Quick predictions. Are we all saying sweep?
I'm saying sweep, but I'm going to go with Potsdam's going to be a 2-goal win.
I think it's going to be a sweep. I think Potsdam's going to be the closer game out of the two.
I mean, you heard mine.
Yep.
It's just a sweep.
Heading over to men's hockey. The North Country road trip starts early this year. Mm. Heading to Potsdam, 7 o'clock matchup Friday night at the Maxey Hall Ice Arena. And one thing to note for the Bears, this is going to be their first games of the season.
Legit games.
They have preseason games, but their games against St. Michael's were canceled due to COVID-19.
COVID-19 protocols. Unbelievable.
Protocols. It's still around, folks. Oswego has won the last four and dominated the last two, outscoring the Bears 13-2. Thanks for the stat line there. Broman has their number, 2 goals, 2 assists in the November 2019 matchup here, Whiteout weekend. And DiCarlo, 2 goals in the February 2020 game where he kind of got hot. So we'll see how he does.
Well, DiCarlo didn't play in that November game.
True.
That's why I mentioned that.
True. And Potsdam coming in with no actual gameplay, just 2 preseason games against Canton and Skidmore. That Canton game went to OT.
Allegedly
went to OT.
I don't know how long it took us to get the score sheet off of that one.
So it did go to OT, and they played through 4 goals in OT in the full 20-minute period.
Yeah, that was,
so there you go.
Obviously, we talked about it at the top of the show. The men's hockey team needs to get back on track here. First Suniac games of the weekend, but they lost the first two non-conference opponents. And Potsdam hasn't won versus Oswego at home since the 2015-16 season in a 1-goal game. That was a 2-1 win. So
I think Oswego, you got to get a win here. There's no doubt about it, and there's no question to it. You've already dropped 2 of your regular season matchups, and they're non-conference. So those are games that the NCAA poll is going to look at. That's what Oswego in general is going to look at. You already dropped 2 of your regular seasons, non-conference. I don't know how many we have left after that when it comes to non-conference, especially competitive. I know we got
– there's going to be a Williams College weekend.
Williams College weekend.
Then we have Pathfinder, obviously.
With Augsburg.
And then there's a couple of games sprinkled in January.
January 9th.
But yes. One thing to talk about with this weekend is I think Eric Green gets to start Friday night.
Really?
Because let's think about it though. So Friday night, you're gonna have a game against Potsdam. Plain and simple. Who are you playing Saturday night? The big bad brother of the North Country compared to Potsdam, Plattsburgh. You think you're gonna see
back to back cots?
Period.
I think you're going.
What is he in the Mountain Dew, Zachary?
I think you're going Eric Green Friday night and Steve Koskowski, the Wizard of Cos, on Saturday.
You know how they always say do the do? How about don't the do?
Don't the do.
How about enough with
do not do the do?
Do not do the do.
Hey, it's all about hot takes, right?
It makes sense if it's a hot take. That's
I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense just due to the fact that we didn't have a season last year, and we haven't seen so far this season 2 goalies get the back-to-back starts. Could be the first weekend we do see it.
Good point.
So we'll see how Gozick's feeling in practice this week. But Green, I like it's maybe a 75-25% chance you see him Friday night, but I really think there's a chance.
This week I can definitely guarantee that Gozick was not feeling too great about his team at the beginning of the week.
I don't know how Monday practice was. Yeah. I hope it wasn't.
Probably a bag skate if I do say so myself. But as for goal setting wise, you make a, dare I say, decent take. It pains me to say it because obviously Eric Green, he hasn't had the luck of the goals scored on him. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, Green should have had that one. Oh, he easily could have stopped that rebound or directed it to another corner. But the goals scored on him were good. They were good opportunities, and he really didn't have much of a chance on a majority of them. So, yes, it wouldn't surprise me a little bit to see him in between the pipes. But I can definitely guarantee you that Kaz will get at least one, if not both, of the starts this weekend.
Yeah, big no, yeah.
I don't know. It would make sense if Kaz got the Plattsburgh game.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen, Potsdam. We still – obviously, we don't know what happened, but what's going to happen for Plattsburgh. But it would make sense if Kaz got at least the start for Saturday's game. I mean, it just – right?
Yeah.
Do I have time for a shameless plug?
Oh,
good. I have time for a shameless plug.
We do. We do have time, but we need to move on to Plattsburgh. I think that's the key match.
Carry on.
Plattsburgh, 7 p.m. at the Ronald B. Stafford Arena up in North Country versus the Cardinals.
North Country.
Last time we saw the Cardinals, the 2019-20 season, a Tuesday night, SUNYAC semifinal matchup. Oswego was victorious. That was a good game. The rivalry, the rivalry was kind of renewed. There was no graphics on the ice. That was a great broadcast, by the way. I missed that broadcast. Shout out Nick Ketter.
Shout out Nick Ketter.
And I really think we're going to see what this team's going to look like against an opponent that we know, opponent that we've seen, an opponent that it is going to come flying come Friday night or come Saturday night. Plattsburgh plays Cortland on that Friday, and they start off the season 1-1. Huge win against Castleton, 8-1, and a 3-2 loss versus Plymouth State.
But hold
Plymouth
on,
State also has votes, though, I think.
But they do, they hold on. Votes. That surprises me, though, because Plymouth State, not to go major throwback, but was, Plymouth State was the team that Oswego smoked in the Unicorn tournament.
It was a brutal game. I remember
they,
that.
They took the loss on Friday against Salve Regina. I want to say it wasn't. It wasn't too pretty. I think it was like 5-2 or something.
5-2, 5-1.
Something along those lines. But then they ended up putting, I want to say it was 8 goals on Plymouth State, and then they wrapped up the weekend. But, yeah, I think Plattsburgh, they're going to be an interesting team this year because 2 years ago they come in, they have led by goaltender with a, dare I say, some insane hair in Jimmy Paria. But he was the backbone of that team, and he's gone. But they had a lot of new faces. They had a lot of freshmen, a lot of sophomores. This year, it's really no different. And 11 sophomores, 11 juniors, only 3 seniors. But again, goaltender insight. I like this one. Their one goalie that they have from that roster 2 years ago hasn't been getting the start. I want to say his last name is Wells, number 34. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
I was actually going to go to a different point.
All right. Well, can you double check that first?
Go back to it while I talk on my point here. You talk about the players.
Yeah.
One thing you failed to talk about is Steve Moffitt.
Head
coach under the old coach back
34. Yes, sorry.
Back during the 2019-20 season, his first season as head coach of the program, now has, let's say, an off season under the belt. You didn't play last year, but you've been practicing. Now you have this season to look on. So this is his third season with the team as head coach. I think that's something to talk about. Let's the program, the system, his recruitment class. He has 2 recruitment classes now. So I think it's very important to see that this Plattsburgh team is now an older team who's very young during the 2019-20 season. And it's going to be a team that's going to be hungry come Saturday.
It's just like the team that we had and that we saw for Oswego just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Right. They had a lot of seniors, a lot of juniors as well. And obviously those juniors didn't get to play last season, but they all got to play together in what we thought was going to be the best team we'd ever seen come out of the green and gold.
Tough.
And obviously that didn't work out as planned, but could it be the same with Plattsburgh? We don't know. Right, Plattsburgh is always one of those up and down teams. They could go out and they could potentially go out and beat a Geneseo on one night and lose to Morrisville in the next.
Yeah, and one of the things that caught my eye was we're going to bring up another preseason poll that was released by the SUNYAC. Plattsburgh was ranked number 3 behind, obviously, Geneseo at 1 and Oswego at 2. But that was almost a surprising take because you saw Plattsburgh, Oswego, in a way, rolled them in that semifinal. And they were young. But the thing was, I thought Plattsburgh, do I think they have 3? Maybe, maybe not. I think they could be 4-5. But this year might be a different year for them. They got some leadership. They got a little bit of youth with a little bit of leadership in between. And, yeah, I think Plattsburgh overall – they're going to be a competitive team nonetheless. We've seen it. We've always heard it. It's just going to be – I think it's going to be a cage fight on Saturday.
Personally, I'd give them 3. I think they're good.
I think Brockport's good. I think we're underestimating Brockport.
Yeah, I agree. I think Brockport could be 3.
Well, in all honesty, are we even the number 2? Is Oswego even the number 2?
Exactly. Exactly.
It goes Geneseo, everybody else. We're
not –
It goes
Geneseo, and then you can mix up –
the 2 through 4.
Oswego, Brockport, Plattsburgh, and possibly a team like Buffalo State.
Oh, absolutely. Buff State gave her – but the thing is, I like this because Buffalo State, didn't Buffalo State get upset by Potsdam and the Suniacs?
Yeah, they did. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's why it really is Geneseo and everybody.
It could be two through six.
Hey, well, if you look at the national poll, where's your Suniac team? Down receiving votes compared to Geneseo. So that's something to talk about.
So is Rockport.
Exactly. So that's what you're saying with Geneseo being so far above.
You never know. All right, shameless plug.
And then predictions.
Do you ever wonder what's going on around campus? Do you ever wonder, gee, what's my favorite sports team doing this week? Or, gee willikers, what just happened? Stop with the laughing. What just happened?
What an ad read.
He is. I can't even read the ad because Thomas, will you let me do it, please? Do you want to leave the room?
No. We're an hour in. Like, just get the ad read over.
I'm trying to. Do you ever feel like you need to know more about what's going on in the Oswego community? Well, you can today. You can pick up a copy of your Oswegonian anywhere on campus, almost anywhere on campus, at 12 different locations, as well as 12 different locations off of campus, such as Garofalo's, Sub Shop. How about Wayne's Drugs?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts and Subway. Fajita Grill. You can pick it up almost anywhere in town. Figure out what's going on, and you can get caught up on all of your news, Laker review, opinion, and sports. So pick up a copy of your Oswegonian today or go to oswegonian.com to read about everything going on around town.
Boom. Prediction time. Boom. Let's go.
You did not want me to do that ad.
No, I liked it. I just think timing-wise, you should have put it halfway through the episode.
Well, I wanted to.
If you said ad read, I would have been fine with it.
Mama Turgeon's getting upset.
Next time, we'll write it in the rundown, okay?
All right. I'll put it in the rundown next time. Don't worry. I'll give Gross's ad read.
All right, Bubba, you're going first.
Unbelievable. Oh, jeez. All right, so we got the women's hockey predictions out of the way, but I say we just repeat them just in case.
Yeah.
I got the women's going with a sweep. I think Buff State, they're coming away with a win, and that's no doubt. I'm not going to do a score on that one or anything specific. I think they're just going to win. Potsdam, I think they're going to win, but it's going to be by two goals. I think Oswego gets the job done. They get crucial 4 points to open up the new HL and a two-goal win against the Bears on Sunday afternoon. Looking over to the men's side in the North and North Country road trip, as I like to call it. Potsdam, I think they're getting the win there. I'm not going to specify a score there. Plattsburgh, on the other hand, I think they get it done at the Stafford. I think it's going to be a two-goal win there as well for the Lakers. But I think it's going to be a cage match. You're ready for the physicality. You're ready for the quote rock the red weekend up in Plattsburgh. But yeah, I think both teams are gonna head back home or stay home with 4 points for both of them.
Obviously I have women's hockey 2-0. We all did. But I have 1-1 on the weekend for the men's team. And I'm not gonna specify where it happens.
You think they just split?
I think they split somehow. If the win comes against Potsdam, the loss will come to Plattsburgh.
See,
if the loss comes against Potsdam, the win will come against Plattsburgh.
See, I'm almost certain it's a win Friday night against Potsdam, but I'm going with a loss against Plattsburgh.
So you're also going.
I'm with the 1-1, but I'll give you the Potsdam win because I think at the end of the day they're going to come fresh off a loss against Elmira. They're going to be fresh off those two losses this week. They're gonna go in and they're gonna destroy.
Do you want me to specify which day? Is it better for the program if you?
Yeah, sure. If you want to, you don't have to. I'm not gonna force you to do anything.
He wants me to specify.
Yes,
he wants you to specify. But go for it.
A win against Potsdam and a loss against Plattsburgh.
All right.
So Gross is going with a 1-1.
So Thomas is the only one with faith in this department.
Jeez, great. Thanks, guys.
Thomas has guessed 8-0.
8-0 on the weekend.
Well, no. 8-0 on the season. On the season so far for both teams combined.
Well, no, everyone's 2-2 right now.
We're 2-2.
I'm not counting the preseason. There were
four games. It's because we guaranteed wins. That's what we
did. Thomas has guaranteed 8 wins for this program.
Oh.
He has guaranteed 8 wins for the program.
Hasn't gone well either. But that's what we're going to go with. I think Oswego gets the job done. I think they're going to be hungry this weekend. They got to win, though. If you're at Gosick, you're looking at your guys and saying, we need these 4 points. And not only do you need them, I think you got to blow it out of the water. If you're playing Potsdam with your offense, the way your offense is producing, you got 4 goals against Elmira. What was it, 3 in the second period?
Yeah.
You had 4 against Utica, a well-known college opponent. Elmira, same thing. You put up 9 against Canton. You get only 1 against Hobart, but their goaltending has been solid for the last 2 years. You're playing a team like Potsdam, you got to put a lot of goals in. I think you got to get at least 3-4.
You heard it here first. Bubba has a weekend sweep for both.
Weekend sweep for both.
That's bold.
One last shameless plug. If you haven't, go on Twitter and follow Gonian Multimedia. Find us there. That's where the podcast is hosted. And you can find all of us, honestly, on Twitter as well. So.
Oh, we're not listing out all the names.
Yeah, we're not. You can follow Gonian. It's Gonian _MMD for the Multimedia Department.
Yeah. And final remarks, gentlemen, before we get out of here.
It's going to be a fun weekend.
Your final remark?
No, mine is I'm honestly concerned for my picks now, but that's how I'm going to go.
See, I'm not concerned, but I'm not optimistic. It's going to be a fun weekend.
My final remark, and no free ads, but Duncan is back with their wintry mix. And as fun and as awesome as that is, they have gotten rid of our beloved apple cran.
That's the most.
R.I.P.
Rest easy.
It was very disappointing.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. For Zachary Case, Thomas Bubba Turgeon, I'm Michael Gross saying so long and sail on.